As we celebrate our 100th session, that our world of work is certainly in turmoil. We know that the dangers of a global depression seem behind us, but we have in front of us the bigger danger of further consolidating inefficient growth patterns and unfair globalization rules at the root of the crisis that we have just had. And they have systematically increased inequality almost everywhere in the last 30 years. So slipping back into business as usual will lead us, sooner rather than later, into another crisis. This is not sustainable economically, socially, environmentally, or politically. Let me just give you some symbols of what I'm talking about. The unacceptably high levels of youth unemployment everywhere, with highest rates in the Arab countries, sometimes 7 or 10 times higher than adult unemployment, 7 to 10 times higher. Adults who define policy seemingly indifferent to the next generation. Another symbol, stagnant levels of world investment in the real economy since the 1980s. Rising in emerging countries and dropping in developed countries, but if you put it all together on balance, it has produced job weak global growth worldwide for a long, long time now. Another symbol, small enterprises, small enterprise creation. We know that it is the major jobs machine of the world, basically marginalized, not the priority in public and private decision making. Another symbol, indecent levels of income and wealth concentration, which most leaders decry, but do little to change. One figure, just one figure to highlight these. 3,500 million people, 3.5 billion, 3,500 million people in the world have together the same income as 61 million people. 3,500? 61 million people. Well, my friends, no wonder so many people are upset and angry. Too many feel squeezed, including the middle classes, between the immediate social impact of the crisis and these long-term trends. At the same time, they see many governments with either too little strength or too little will to rein in the unaccountable power of financial operators, which wield so much influence on our societies. And then, of course, we see that some financial institutions are told are too big to fail, while you have a feeling that many people are simply too small to matter. Another visible preoccupation is the seemingly inability of our political and business systems to think long-term, to dialogue among them, to come together on key national and international issues, to reassure citizens that they are the priority of policymaking. From Tahrir Square to Puerta del Sol, in streets and plazas in many countries, we are witnessing the birth, what I believe is, of a social and popular movement led by youth that may change the world if they are reflecting the disquiet, the silent disquiet of the people who believe that 3,500 million people cannot have the same income as 61 million people. So we should understand, I think, that in this context, the youth are behind the movement for freedom and decent work. In some places, freedom from fear of authoritarian power. Everywhere, freedom from lack of opportunities, from the insecurity and unfairness of inefficient growth, freedom to choose and to be part of a quest for social justice and peace. And they voice a demand that we know only too well here in the ILO. In different languages and expressions, they are demanding the same thing, that leaders in business, politics, civil society, and international organizations agree on actions and policies that give us a fair chance at a decent job. I was in Tahrir Square, and a young man told me, look, we can't believe that the powers of the world cannot solve the youth employment problem. We believe it's possible. You, the International Labour Organization, have a responsibility to make the point that it is possible. So these are the hopes that are behind these movements, but also these are the hopes that arrive at this hall. Can we, will we, do we want to make a difference so that these types of problems are solved? This is the essence of what I believe we have to address in this session, because you put all of this together and you wind up with a startling poll. In 3/4 of the 82 countries with available information, a majority of the individuals are getting increasingly pessimistic about their future quality of life and standards of living. So, dear friends, this is, of course, just a snapshot, but it tells us one thing, that you were right. ILO's tripartism was right when you launched the 2008 Declaration on Social Justice for a Fair Globalization. You were right when you reacted rapidly to the financial crisis with the Global Jobs Pact. And I will pick up the central objectives of the report that I presented to the conference. But I want to say that the issues that we're going to discuss in this conference are directly related to the types of problems that the youth are posing and the statistics show. I believe that it is urgent to commit to a new era of social justice, of growth with social justice based on sustainable development. This is the heart of my report to you. It calls on ILO tripartism to exercise leadership. And let me quote a part of the report. I say there, whether a new era of social justice remains just an idealized vision of a desired future or becomes a practical reality that takes hold in our societies will depend in many ways on you, on us, on the ILO family. It will depend on the courage, convictions, ability, and willpower of the ILO and you as constituents, and on our capacity to work together and with others in the multilateral world to pave the way for this new era. We know from our history that the ILO's tripartism, values, and policy tools have the capacity to make change happen. The fact that ours has always been a difficult task anchored in the real life of individual societies, and one which we cannot achieve alone, should not deter us. And I will go into what is the type of growth that we need towards the future and what is it that we can do. But I have used the word history. Yes, our history, our International Labour Conference history. 100 sessions in which you and those thousands and thousands of delegates before you have given life and form to that central value that unites us, social justice, as the foundation of peace. And our legacy is the path to the future. Your predecessors carried the torch for 92 years. They give us the strength to make good on their conviction, on the conviction of our founders. So 100 sessions later, we're still here, lifted by the same values, proud of our history, determined to carry forward our mandate. If you want peace, cultivate justice. It becomes so clear that a decent work agenda and a working ILO tripartism bring the possibility of a more efficient, more inclusive growth, of more peace, more equity, and more rights, with less poverty and less instability in economies, enterprises, workplaces, ultimately society. ILO policies contribute to a world with fewer tensions, greater fairness, and strengthened security. With our values and policies, we are certainly on the right side of history. I argue in my recent report to you for an efficient market economy growth with social justice, a productive vision with socially balanced outcomes for the sake of growth for societies with our values. We are not saying that we need a sort of a little grain of social added to the current outcomes. We're saying the current outcomes are leading us to the next crisis. They're not sustainable, economically, politically, socially, environmentally. We seek a different growth pattern with different market outcomes. Outcomes with freedom, dignity, security, and equity. Productive outcomes combining the strength of markets, the responsibility of enterprises, the skills of workers, the power of social dialogue, the incentives of regulation and the incentives and regulations of public policies to sustain efficient growth with social justice. The notion that we can change the patterns of growth is technically possible. There is no obstacle whatsoever in conceiving a policy mix that produces relationship between productivity and salaries, that produces income-led growth, that produces higher level of real investment in the economy and not in financial products that don't create value nor jobs. And I can go on with the list. Those objectives, what people would like to see happen, are technically feasible. These are things that can be done. So the question, our question is, in this, and a further issue to what I was saying before, is that in this endeavor, international labor standards, a source of our identity, can guide us in making wide, decent work opportunities possible in all countries relative to all levels of development. So what does this potential of a different type of growth mean for us? What does economically and socially efficient growth demand on us? And I would say it in four words: leadership, knowledge, dialogue, cooperation. I urge you again to seize the opportunity of this 100th conference to reflect on these challenges and on the future role of organization. Our history and values compel us to, our responsibility obliges us to. And let's not forget that as we speak, the daring and courageous commitment of the Arab world and beyond this, of youth in the Arab world and beyond it, is giving us a powerful message that real change today may demand, up to you to see how this happens, widespread peaceful social and popular mobilization that can project the voice and demands of people into the heart of the political decision-making process. We at the ILO, the tripartite ILO, must also hear them. And let us be bold and ambitious as our forebears were. Let's make this possibility of change happen. And let me say that, yes, I am sometimes enthusiastic and have my own way of saying things, and I come from a Latin culture, and that adds a little bit of a factor to it. But let me tell you, in the simplest of terms, I believe that what I'm saying today to you has profound implications for this institution. The worst thing that can happen to us, to all of us here, is an ILO tripartite, and I'm talking to employers, I'm talking to governments, including that part of government that is not here, which is finance and monetary and other things, and workers, that we can transmit the image that we're not really up to this type of task, that we were in the past and we're not today. I don't believe that is a reality. I believe that we are up to the task, because if not, we didn't have the declaration of 2008 and we wouldn't have the Global Jobs Pact. So we are to the task. But let me put an edge of urgency, an edge of transmitting this feeling that the people that are suffering have one place, at least in the international community, that is linked to them. One place. And that place is the ILO.